Hi, so my name is Lizzie, and I'm one of the swing relief keepers at the Greensboro Science Center.
Hello, I'm John Rossi. I'm a touring drummer with a passion for animal conservation. When I'm on the road, I spend as much time as possible visiting zoos, aquariums, and conservation organizations. Now, I want to share those places with you. I'll be talking to keepers, vets, conservationists, anyone who can help me in my mission of connecting my people to animals through their people. Join me on my raw safari. Hi, hello, how are you? Welcome back to a very special Thanksgiving week episode of the Raw Safari Podcast. Y'all, when I thought about what I am thankful for this year, many, many things come to mind. But one of the ones that is the biggest of those things is the relationship that I have formed with the Greensboro Science Center. Y'all know it. Y'all love it. You see it on my socials. You hear the episodes here. And it has just been such a ridiculously big deal for the podcast and from what they tell me. For Greensboro as well, to have this amazing relationship. And so when I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do for a Thanksgiving week episode, because it's Thanksgiving in the States. I know I have fans all over now. So us weird Americans have our Thanksgiving this week. I decided that I wanted to jump ahead in my episodes a little bit and release this episode, which features Lizzie Lohr, one of the keepers there. And Lizzie is both one of the people who I met very early on at Greensboro and who I met in a ridiculously amazing situation, something that you will get to hear about in this interview a little bit that you've heard me talk about before. But also, she has a really cool, unique position in that she is a swing keeper. And no, I don't mean that she plays straight eighth notes as though they're the first and third note of a triplet. Oh, wait, you guys aren't all musicians. Many of you did not just get what I was saying, but that's kind of the easy definition of a swing beat. But she's a swing keeper, so she gets to do all the things at different times, which is really cool. So I'm really excited to share all of that with you. But before we get to that, a friendly reminder to make sure that you hit subscribe, make sure that you rate and review the podcast. It helps people find us, and make sure you're following along on all the socials at Raw Safari and on TikTok at Raw Safari Pod. Also, I have one other thing I want to say before we get to this interview. Before she became Lizzie Lohr, which you'll hear us talk more about in this episode, actually, Lizzie was Lizzie Stanforth, which is why when I recently did a collaborative post with Greensboro Science Center, and I got some comments from Trish Stanforth, I figured out that it was probably Lizzie's mom, which Trish did confirm herself. I think it is the sweetest thing when parents get involved and get interested in what their kids are doing. And I thought it was so cool that Trish commented on one of my posts and then seemed, pretty proud of the fact that, her daughter Liz is there at the zoo doing the thing. And I just thought that was the sweetest thing. So I don't really dedicate episodes to people, but this episode is 100% dedicated to my girl, Trish Stanforth. All right. So without further ado, here is my interview with Lizzie Lohr, Nee Stanforth of the Greensboro Science Center. I appreciate you reaching out and actually saying you were interested in doing the pod. That always makes me feel good. And you said that you thought that your position is unique and we need to talk about it, which I think is a really great idea. So we'll get into your history and all of the stuff that we normally do. But when you say that you are a swing relief keeper, what does that mean?
So our terrestrial department is broken down into three different teams. So we have relief keepers that cover each different team. And we also have a couple of swing keepers as well that kind of bounce around throughout all of those teams. So I kind of have the opportunity to be able to work with almost all of our animals on the terrestrial side of our department and kind of bouncing around between each of our different strings and our teams every day, which is super exciting, makes every day a whole new thing.
Yeah, no, that sounds like a lot. And is that a position that's enough to be like full-time, or are you part-time, or are you on call, or how does that work?
So I am full-time here, 5 days a week, 40 hours.
Very cool. All right. So there's enough call for that. Mm-hmm. So that means, in my mind, either that there's enough of a staff here that where there's always going to be someone who has to call out or something like that, or that, you know, the Greensboro Science Center is invested enough that when there's a full staff on, you can still go and go where the help is needed and, like, enrich things further. Is that kind of what's going on?
Yes. So it gives us a good opportunity with our lead keepers, who are the ones that do the protocols and kind of the management of each of the strings. It gives them an opportunity to have what we call project days. So a day where I would be there and they would be there and I would be covering their string for them. So they'd have an opportunity to work on extra big projects like building things or big enrichment projects that they wouldn't normally have time for when they're working husbandry stuff throughout the day. So it's a nice opportunity for extra things to get done as well when we have the staff available.
Yeah, that's really cool. I like that. I like that the Science Center is so invested in making sure not just that there's the necessary coverage, but that there's extra coverage.
That's, yes, absolutely.
That's very cool. Yeah. So so you said there are three different areas, right? Three
yes.
different strings? Okay,
yes.
Cool. So what are those?
So we have Team A, that composes of our tiger string, our wolf string, our lemur string, and our commissary string.
Okay.
And so that's our Team A, primarily carnivore, primate-esque, but with a little extra things mixed in there as well. Then we have our Team B, which is primarily hoofstock-based. So we have our hippo string, our okapi string, as well as our fusa string, that are all on that team. And then our Team C is more of our ambassador animal string. So we have our ambassador animal string, which is all of our small mammals and things, as well as our Komodo string and our birdhouse string with all of our barn and our birdhouse animals as well.
Okay, cool. Which string is Red Panda and which string is Binter on?
Red Panda is on the wolf string, so that string is wolves and Red Panda.
Okay.
And the bints are on the okapi string, so that's okapi, one of our ground hornbills, Hermione, the binturongs, and the howler monkeys.
Nice. Very cool.
Very
All
cool.
right. Yeah. I've gotten to know so many of the animals here that I was here 2 days ago just visiting, not actually doing podcastal stuff, but I was in the area and I was like, oh, might as well swing by. And I was going down Revolution Ridge and I was talking to all of the animals by name.
Yeah.
You know, Hermione, Bakari, right? Just having a grand old time. And I heard this old lady, and I was having noise canceling headphones, all right? So like I know people, you know, talk, but, and I just heard her go, oh, it's so weird that he's making up all these names. And I was like, do I turn around and explain? You know what? I'm going to let her have this one. It's fine.
Yeah. Maybe it just we're naming all the animals on your own time.
Yeah,
whatever spoke to you.
Well, that's one of the funny things too. So, you know, one of the things that's been really cool, obviously I've been here a lot and the collaboration that, I have had with Becca and Sarah in the PR and marketing department has been really deep. And we do a lot of like joint posts and stuff. And it has really helped. I know a lot of Raw Safari people are now very into the Greensboro Science Center.
That's awesome.
And I know that a lot of Greensboro people are now really into Raw Safari. Like it goes both ways and
yes.
it has been amazing. And I had this experience where that lady was like, you know, oh, here's this weird guy making up names. And then I had this family of four stop me, and it was two grandparents and then their daughter and granddaughter. And they knew me. And it was the grandparents who knew, they recognized me from the videos. They had started listening to the podcast and the grandmother was like, I know this is really weird, but can we get a selfie with you? And I was like, ah. And it's so funny to be in this place right now where it's like, I was a celebrity to them. And then there's another person of their generation that's like, who's this weirdo?
That is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been cool. It has been really neat to see, you know, all of that. And to see that, like, I got to know you and now you're here and you wanted to be here.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's been a very cool thing to see. I like the Raw Safari Greensboro Science Center collab. It's been really good.
Very fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, You know, one of the perks of getting to do what you do is that you get to have all the experience.
Yes.
And can you talk about the experience that you were having when we first met?
Yeah, absolutely. So as in my position, I kind of have a little bit of wiggle room to help with some of the extra things that we have going on. And so this year we had some bintlets that we were hand rearing.
Yeah, we did. We did. Like I actually worked here. Yeah. Yes, you did. But they are now my friends too. So.
Yes, exactly. And that was where we first met when feeding those little baby bints. And I got to the opportunity to do the same thing with the red panda cubs as well. That was very, very rewarding and exciting to be able to be a part of those teams and learn a lot more about hand-rearing animals and things that I just had not had any ideas about before. And so now I got that kind of experience in my back pocket, which is very, very nice.
Yeah, that was, I mean, all of that is astonishing. But to think that that was your job, like, one day, mm-hmm. and then the next day you might be taking care of goats.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Whatever. That's really, like, I love the variety that you have there. You know,
Me too. Is
really cool. Yeah. How often do you find yourself switching? Like, normal five-day work week. I guess the better question is, how does it get scheduled out, or does it, or do you walk in every day and somebody's like, today you are Kelly, or today you are Macy, or whatever?
It kind of depends. For the most part, the schedule is done pretty far in advance, so we kind of know what's coming up.
Okay.
But there's always those random situations where if someone gets sick or calls out or something happens that I could be scheduled for one string and something changes and day of, I'll be like, oh, now I'm going to be switched over to this one. That's how it goes. But sometimes I'll be on the same string no more than 2 to 3 days in a row, just depending on who all is here and who all is trained on what. But there are also weeks that I will be on a different string every single 5 days of the week. So it kind of depends a little bit, but I do get quite a little bit of time to bounce around towards everything. And I spend more time bouncing around than I do staying in the same area.
Oh, that sounds so cool. That sounds so fun.
It is very nice.
Here's my question, though. I know that you like the variety. We've well established that at this point. But given your druthers, who says druthers? I'm apparently 900 years old. Anyway, given your druthers, would you rather have like 3 days on the same string and then 3 days on the next string, just so you can kind of get it more in your body and stuff? Or would you rather have, you know, Monday bintlets, Tuesday pandlets, Thursday okapi, whatever? You know what I mean?
I think that's a good question, actually.
I hope they're all good questions. I don't know.
I guess it kind of depends. I do really enjoy the variety and being able to kind of bounce off every single day, but it does make it a little bit challenging sometimes. If there are weird things on a string someday, it makes me want to kind of carry through and see it till it's all resolved. But sometimes it just isn't able to work out like that.
No, that makes a ton of sense. And I definitely see both sides of it.
Mm-hmm.
I am curious, and you know, throwing you under the bus just a little bit here, but we all are human. I'm just curious if you've ever had a moment where, like, you're on, you know, again, you're on okapi string, right, on Monday, and then you walk in Tuesday, and you're on a completely different string, and suddenly you're like, oh, I didn't feed Bakari this morning. Or like, wait, did I let her? And then you're like, nope, wait, that is literally not my job today. Have you ever had a moment like that?
Yes.
Okay.
All
awesome.
The time. It definitely happens all the time. I'll just be so focused on what was happening yesterday or what I was just doing and focused in the middle of a different task that I'm just melding all the strings together. Yes, it does happen a lot.
That's amazing. But I'm sure you always, you know, yeah, figure it out.
Figure it out at the end of the day.
What do you guys mean Bakari's eaten 6 times today? Wait,
that's not my fault. I don't know what you're talking about there.
No, that's hilarious. That's really cool. So, all right. So let's go back for a minute. Now that we've covered a little bit about this position, mm-hmm. and just tell me, like, what got you here? Actually, before we answer, kind of as a precursor to that, right?
Yeah.
I have the feeling, just knowing how things in this industry generally work, that a swing keeper is kind of like I don't know if entry level is the right level, but like a lower level as far as the keepers are concerned.
Yes.
but also it sounds like the most challenging position. So I'm curious kind of how you see that.
It definitely comes with different challenges. I like to think that leads and reliefs both have their own challenges that are just completely different types of challenges.
Sure.
Since the leads, they have these specific animals that they focus on that they need to make sure they know everything about and focus their diets and change all of those as needed, and more of kind of macro focus, I guess, on one particular thing or a couple particular things, where I feel like on my side of things, I have more of a little bit of knowledge about a lot of things. So I definitely feel like our panda lead keeper could give you a lot more in-depth information about pandas. But on the same time, I do have a couple of sprouts of information that I need to be able to throw out to the guests and for keeper talks and things like that.
You're not wrong. Kelly shares so much information about
yes,
pandas. Whether requested or not, she shares that information.
I love her passion for those
she's
pandas.
She's amazing.
It makes
I love
me
Kelly.
So happy.
She's great. Yes.
And then just knowing all of a bunch of small things versus a lot about a fewer amount of things.
That makes sense. Yeah, no,
yeah.
They're both they both do have challenges. That's fair. So, okay, so now we know that you're you know, newer to this world. So
yes.
So let's talk about how you got here.
Yeah, so I started at the Science Center last January. So I've been here two Januaries ago, not last January. So I've been here for almost 2 years now.
All right.
And I was hired on in my position that I am now. But before then, I was at a four-year college. I got a degree in general biology. Going through school, I wasn't super sure where I wanted to go in the animal world. I kind of always knew that I wanted to be in this field somewhere, but I kind of wanted to leave it a little bit more open in case I wanted to go to vet school or something like that, but obviously ultimately ended up in zookeeping position. But as I was in college there, I went to the University of Minnesota in Duluth.
Okay.
So way up north in Duluth, and there was also a zoo up there called the Lake Superior Zoo. It is very nice AZA, medium-ish sized zoo that I did an internship there throughout college. And then COVID happened in the middle of that, which kind of cut my first internship a little bit short. But luckily, they were super great and gave me the opportunity to come back after they had resumed all their programming. And then after I graduated college, I moved down to North Carolina and did some work in animal shelter, kind of dog kennel areas. And then I got an internship here at the Science Center. I was working on the hippo string, which at the time was hippos, cassowaries, and our barn. And so I was working or interning here.
Trust me, you were working.
Yes. Yes. I was here still 5 days a week. But I was doing that all throughout the summer and then kind of finished up my internship and went back and was working at an animal shelter for a little while, and then had the opportunity where a job was opened up here, and I kind of took my shot and interviewed for it, and obviously I ended up getting it, which
yeah.
I feel very, very, very lucky to have gotten.
That's very cool. And so is this still your first position and you've just been
yes.
riding it out? Okay,
yes.
cool, cool, cool.
This is my first right. zookeeper position here.
Nice. Very cool. So what are goals?
Eventually, I would love to be a lead over some animals. I really want to make sure that whatever position I step into, I have the right passion for the specific animals that I'm with. I really, as of right now, love those red pandas.
I
also love the hippos are two kind of my favorites at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So talking right now, I would love to work more with either one of those guys. But since I get to bounce around and see so many things, that answer really does change on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, just based on kind of what I've been doing recently and
right,
what's been
right.
sparking the passions lately.
That's cool. No, I totally get that. And, you know, it's interesting. The red pandas are about to have a whole bunch of switcheroos happening.
Yes.
And this is public knowledge. And by the time this comes out in a couple months, this will be very public knowledge. But
yes.
it was just announced, the latest SSP stuff. And your female will be heading off, which is sad.
Yes.
However.
Bittersweet.
Bittersweet. However. Madeline, who is coming, is genuinely one of the sweetest pandas I have ever met. And I've met way too many at this point. Yeah. She has such a sweet disposition. Oh. I actually know Christy, her lead keeper at Columbus, is sad she's going. And is very used to this game by now. You know, we know how this works. But Madeline is incredible. And I think that her and Ty will get along super well. She's also gorgeous. So I expect the cute babies to continue. Because it is a breeding wreck, which is amazing. Yes. You know, and then as far as the kiddos are concerned, the girls are staying for at least a bit longer.
Yes.
But Zuko is heading off to my buddy Paul Reinhardt in Cincinnati.
Yes.
For a breeding wreck with Lenore. And I am so excited. I mean, I wish everyone could stay here. I wish we could just rename this place the Greensboro Panda Center. And I would just live here and sit on a chair. I don't know.
I'm behind
but,
that.
Yeah, that would be amazing. But barring that, I will tell you, not only is Christy amazing in Columbus, and so Usha's going off to a wonderful place.
Good.
I promise you there, you know, they're incredible there. Paul, I mean, look, I don't want to sound biased, but they might be my two favorite keepers in the panda world. Kelly's moving up there. I haven't known her as well, but Kelly's incredible. But, the love and attention that both of those teams give to their pandas is as good as anything I've seen in the zoo field.
That is amazing.
It is. And I'm so excited I can tell you that. I told Becca that. I can't wait to tell Kelly that when I see her again. Because I know we all miss our friends when they move.
Yeah.
And the places they are going, just incredible. And the cool thing for me is I go to Columbus and Cincy a lot. So I will be able to keep up with the keepers, take the photos, do all the things, and make sure that the team here is keeping up with those goobers because I know
so
we all
lovely.
Want to.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. It's something that I love doing. So I'm very excited about that. And I can't wait to hear what, you know, Madeline's like for y'all.
I know. I'm so
great.
Excited to get to meet her, hearing such amazing things about her. It is a very exciting time.
Yeah.
Bittersweet, like
of
I said.
Of course, yeah, yeah. But no, that's really cool. Have you made it down to the exhibit yet?
I have not.
Tell everyone what we're talking about.
Because, so we just yesterday moved our baby red pandas over from the hospital, our surgery room that we had kind of converted into their nursery area, to our panda blockhouse in our indoor exhibit where Ravi has been living for the past couple months. And they have been, I've heard that they have been really taking in all of their new space, using every single inch of that exhibit.
Oh, I'm so excited. I got here too late. I had to talk to you first. But as soon as we're done, I'm spending the rest of my day down there. It's going to be amazing. Yeah, yeah. That's so cool. I'm so excited. It's so weird, like, watching them grow up so fast, though.
It seemed like it happened in just the blink of an eye. One day, they were little Q-tip-sized babies.
They weren't even red pandas.
Huge.
They were just the gray. It's so weird.
Puff
little puffballs. Yeah. Panting a lot and doing nothing else.
Yeah.
And now they're in a real exhibit.
Yeah. Now they're just little pint-sized real pandas.
Oh, it's crazy. It's so cool that you get to experience that.
Yes.
And Huckleberry and Holly.
Yes.
And tigers. Mm-hmm. And all the things. I'm honestly pretty obsessed with your position. I think, like, if I were ever to be a zookeeper, I would want that kind of thing.
It is definitely awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's funny. One thing that a lot of my keeper friends tell me is that they're jealous of me because I get to meet so many species and see so many incredible animals. And, you know, they might work with 20, 30, 40, 50 animals in ambassador settings especially, but those are the ones they meet. And occasionally they might get to go and see some other things at their own zoo. But, like, yeah, I was hanging out with a polar bear yesterday. I mean, you just never know what's going to happen, you know? But it sounds like your job is, like, the closest to that. You're obviously at one facility.
Yeah.
But that's really cool.
It is very, very fun.
Yeah, I like that a lot. All right, so we're going to break away from the zoo for just a second because, and by the time this airs, this will have already happened, but you are 4 days away from something. What is that?
I sure am. I'm actually getting married in 4 days.
Yeah, you are.
Crazy.
So listen, anybody on here, if you're listening, you're like, this one sounds incredible. By the time this is out, you're too late. Sorry. Sorry. You had your shot, but it's over. So are you excited? How are things going?
It has been going amazing. amazing. We're kind of in the last minute details of everything, finalizing everything. Families starting to come into town, friends starting to come into town. So it's all finally the year of planning that we've always been like, oh, it's so far away. It's so far away. Well, now it's right around the corner, and that realness is definitely setting in.
Cool. I like that. That's very exciting for you.
Yes.
How does that play into having a big thing like that into a career like this, which is so demanding?
It is pretty challenging, especially this last week has been a little bit crazy trying to juggle leaving personal things at the door when I come into work, because that is one of the big things that I, of course, always try to do to make sure that I'm as focused on what I'm doing as possible. But of course, when there's a big giant event or something happening, it kind of lives in your brain a little bit more than other things. So it's been a little tricky to kind of push that out of the way to make sure that I'm 100% focused on everything. But at the end of the day, I mean, it's all been working out so far.
Great.
And today is my last day here before the wedding. So final stretch. Here
Amazing.
We are.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Do you have any, are any of your friends or family going to come to the Science Center?
Probably. Yeah. I had one, my bridesmaid, she came in from Sweden.
Oh, all right.
And so she's been here for a couple days and she got to come down here and she went over and tried to get her to meet Bakari, but he was having too much of a good time out on exhibit. So she just got to see him and just show her kind of the indoors of the little blockhouse, which was really nice.
That is really cool. Why? How do you have a bridesmaid from Sweden?
that was a little bit of a breaker, right?
Yeah, yeah. I was like, excuse me.
When I was in high school, we did an exchange program.
Okay.
And so she came and stayed with us for a little under a year. It was a whole school year that she lived with my family and kind of did everything with us. So basically, throughout that year, she kind of turned into my not blood-related sister. And so we've luckily been able to keep in contact throughout all of those years. And when this situation first happened in my brain, it was always a no-brainer that I was, of course, going to ask her to be in the wedding if she was able to make it over.
That's a heck of an ask. That's
yes.
really cool.
Yes, and I'm super, super thankful that she was able to make it all work out.
Yeah, no, that's really awesome. So are there going to be any fun animal-themed stuff at the wedding?
Kind of not as much as I would have hoped.
They wouldn't let you take the cubs is what you're telling me.
Unfortunately not. Huckleberry's not able to make a debut either. But that's okay. I do understand.
All right. Well, that's fair. So I'm always so curious about, like, the couples I know that are like a very animal person and a not very animal person. Because obviously my relationship is just two very animal people.
Yes.
So we got engaged at a zoo. We got married at a zoo. There was an ambassador animal, a red panda helped me propose. Like all the things. But I'm always amazed. I have these friends that are like zookeepers and then, you know, they're married to a very just business type person.
Mm-hmm.
And like it's just a very different world. So I was just curious how much that leaks into your kind of, you know, situation.
Yeah, it was more traditional wedding aspect things. We're having a Tangled themed. I'm very Disney person. So Tangled was kind of one of my little dreams that I had always thought about. And so I'm very focused on that theming of things.
All right. That works. All right. Very cool. Let's bring it back to the Greensboro Science Center. You know, I know that you said that you're very, like, excited about the pandas and stuff. But what would be your number one hidden gem? Because the pandas are not a hidden gem.
No.
They are constantly in front of everybody. But yeah, what's your hidden gem here?
Well, one of my favorite animals in this whole entire place is Oscar, our guinea hog who lives in the farm.
Mm-hmm,
he
mm-hmm.
is hands down, one of the best animals. He has the best belly for belly rubs, and he's always making it known that he wants belly rubs, which is very lovely. And I also do a bit of training with him, so I'm his primary trainer. And we've been working together ever since I started here, really. And we've been able to kind of build a really good relationship together and come a long way from not really doing much to now we go on walks every once in a while and do training sessions out in the barnyard, which is very, very fun and very rewarding, even though it's less of an exotic animal, it's still very, very fun to and rewarding to be able to train with him and be able to do so much.
That's really cool. And okay, so first of all, confession time. I've not met Oscar. I have not gone. There are binturongs over there and red pandas down there.
They're a little distracting.
I don't know if you know how all this works, but weirdly, I don't end up in the barnyard very often.
That's
fair. It sounds like I need to go and hang out with this guy.
Yes.
Sounds very cool. Now, I did catch something that you said, though, that kind of surprised me a little bit. You are a swing keeper, mm-hmm. so you have different duties every day.
Yes.
But you are also the primary trainer of one of the animals here.
Yes.
How does that work?
So I, as a swing keeper, obviously don't have animals that I am the lead over. So mostly leads are the primary trainers for the animals that they're over. But in areas like the barn or in our discovery house with all of our small mammals, that's a lot of animals for the lead to be expected to be the primary trainer over all of them. So that's a good opportunity for the relief keepers to kind of step in a little bit and take one of those animals to kind of take it off of the lead's hands a little bit and give us an opportunity to kind of step up a little bit. And so he was just kind of the first one that I got to choose when I started, and it's worked out very well.
Is he the only animal you're the primary trainer of?
I am also the primary trainer over our corn snakes downstairs.
Nice.
I've been doing some work with them the past couple months. It's a slower process with them versus with our mammals, which is a whole thing, but it is still very rewarding and very, very fun.
That's really cool. This seems like such a really well-designed program. I'm not going to lie. When you first told me that you were a swing keeper, my initial thought was like obviously an important role, and but like that it would almost be like an on-call type thing mm-hmm. or a like you're just picking up the slack. Not that people are slacking.
Yes.
But like things happen. An animal that you're supposed to feed decides not to eat for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You're stuck for 2 hours. That kind of
yeah.
thing. You know, I thought it would be kind of running around like a chicken with its head cut off type situation, the way, you know, just from the term and from honestly, frankly, what I've heard at some other facilities mm-hmm. about how that works. But this sounds like really as well scripted as an improvisational role can be.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it definitely has its challenges sometimes, especially when we do end up on days that we're short staffed and we kind of have to pick up multiple things for multiple people. It gives me less time in the day to be able to do those kind of training things. So there are some days where I would really love to make it out to train with Oscar or to train with the snakes, and it's just not in the cards for the day. There's just not enough time, which can get a little frustrating at times, but of course, always happens.
Yeah, no, totally makes sense. That's very cool. I like just how defined this is and
yes.
how it sounds like it's such a just a vital part of the day-to-day here. That's
yeah,
really cool.
It's awesome.
Yeah. So y'all, now you mentioned that terrestrial is what you take care
yes.
of.
Yes.
And I don't know if you know this, but you do have an aquarium here.
Yes, we sure do. I do kind of forget about it sometimes. It's on the opposite side of our world, and I do not make it over there nearly as much as I should.
See, and that's what I was going to ask. So is it interesting kind of having at your own facility a place where you can just go and, even if you don't get there often, be a bit of a spectator? Or, like, are you so all ingrained with each other that, I mean, I know everybody loves everybody, mm-hmm. but beyond that, I've seen enough of those interactions here to know that that is very real here.
Oh, yes.
But I'm just curious, like, what is the experience like? Is there a difference between being out in the zoo where you know everything and everybody, person and animal, and then you go into the aquarium and it's like, oh, there's a sloth.
Yeah, it is definitely a big change sometimes. And sometimes some of the changes going on over there, we don't necessarily hear about over here. So we kind of go up there and things are a little bit different next time. So it really does make it exciting to have a place like that to go. And we do have a good relationship with the aquarists over there, especially with all of our aquatic systems that we have in our terrestrial area. They are amazing at coming down and helping us out when things go wrong with our systems and we really don't know how to handle it. They are amazing at being able to help us with that. So we do have a good relationship with the aquarists, but it is always nice to be able to kind of go see them in their element when they're doing their things versus having them always coming down to our areas and getting to see all the fun animals up in the aquarium, because there's so much fun, cool stuff up there.
There really is. What's your favorite one or two?
Oh, my goodness. I am obsessed with the jellyfish.
Okay.
Weirdly enough, I really find them very calming to watch.
Yes, yeah.
Just kind of staring at them just takes me away for a second, and I love it.
2 days ago when I was here, I was in the aquarium, and a friend of mine sent me a kind of like, message, like life was happening. And I literally just filmed them for a minute and just said, here, watch this. Like, I don't have anything to tell you what you told me. It's not like I can give advice. I sympathize, but shut up and watch jellyfish. And the response was, thank you. I watched that like 3 times. I was like, yeah, they really are amazing.
It's so calming and relaxing. Yeah. I love them.
That's awesome.
And of course, Indy now, she is amazing up there.
And that's the whole launch of a new world that's going to be happening here.
Yes.
Do you have any thoughts or insights? Is that something that you're going to get to be a part of? Or, I mean, I feel like everyone here is a part of everything.
But, yes. You know. We don't really know much of the logistics behind everything yet, but it's definitely been really exciting to be a part of the team while so much new stuff is coming about. So being able to see all of the visionary things for what this area is going to look like or what it is possibly going to have in it and things like that. And to be able to see kind of the beginning stages of the drawing board and then hopefully down the road a couple years, be able to see the finished product of everything is going to be extremely, extremely exciting. And I just can't wait to see where everything comes from, what it looks like on paper.
You know, it occurs to me, I mean, that's amazing. I love that. But we're talking like old friends who know everything about GSC. But just for the people that are listening, can you just give a very brief overview of what we're talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a big expansion that we're going to be doing in the next couple few years down the road at the Science Center called the Biodome, where it's going to be Rainforest Adventure. And we're going to have a bunch of different kind of more tropical themed animals, plants, and just a much different vibe of things than what we have here now. So it's going to be a really, really big expansion for us here and very exciting with lots and lots of moving parts.
It is amazing to see this happening again, because the first time that I came here was before Revolution Ridge.
Oh.
I remember when the pandas were in the bird habitat now. What are they?
The trumpeter
hornbills. Yes. And like that was a fine place for them and a fine exhibit, but it was like a very small little like, you know, zoo.
Yeah.
And then suddenly that whole area opened up, and I remember I came back and I was like, whoa, okay, this is a huge expansion. Because a lot of times you don't see big expansions mm-hmm. happening. And now it's just going to be another huge expansion.
Yes.
You know? I'm amazed.
Very, very exciting.
Yeah, I think it's so fascinating to me. This is one of the few facilities that I know of that is a true zoo and a true aquarium, but also a science center. Mm-hmm. There, people come here not even for the animals. Like, there's other stuff here, like sciencey stuff.
Yeah.
I kind of skip it most of the time because of animals, but Becca's forced me to walk through all of it. And,
that's
you know,
fair.
And there are full, like, fossil collections here mm-hmm. and all kinds of really cool stuff. I think that Greensboro Science Center has the potential to be really, like, almost the future of what science education can look like.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think it's already there in some ways, but as I hear about these continued huge projects, I'm just like, wow.
Yeah, it is so exciting to be able to hear and see about it all happening.
Yeah. Now, I'm curious, you know, you're starting this next chapter in your life. And oh, my gosh, I wish you all could have just seen her face. There's lots of excitement going on here. You know, a lot of times in this career, people have to move a bunch to find mm-hmm. their forever place or don't get a forever place.
Yeah.
Are you open to that? Are you hoping to stay at Greensboro? Are you, you know, what's your deal?
I am really hoping to stay here at Greensboro. I do love this area in general. And my fiance has a company that he kind of works through in this area as well. So I really would love to stay in this area, especially with all of these really big things happening and being able to be and see firsthand from the ground up all of the progress of everything. Fingers crossed that it works out for me like that, but the ideal goal would, for at least a couple more years, to be staying staying here in Greensboro.
Nice, yeah. What do you think of, you know, I've had so many interviews here and I've never really talked about this, but what do you think of Greensboro outside of the Science Center?
I personally really enjoy Greensboro. I live about 10 minutes away, so not super far at all, still in Greensboro. And there's just so many options for things to do all over Greensboro. And you kind of get the bigger city vibes when you go kind of in the middle of downtown. But then around the outskirts, there's also more like neighborhoods and smaller areas like that. But all have things to do, it seems like, within walking or very short driving distance, which is very, very nice to be able to just hop in your car and get to dinner in 5 minutes and then get home right away afterwards.
Yeah, I've enjoyed every time I've been down here. I keep stretching my stays to 2 days, 3 days. And I'm never bored.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty cool.
There's so much to do.
I would not have expected that when I first, you know, started to explore this area. I was shocked by all of this. I was shocked that a place called Greensboro exists.
Yeah.
I was shocked that it was had a facility that was AZA accredited and there were which is the only reason I ever found this place. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, there's a place with red pandas. Oh, all right, I'll go check it out. And then loved it. Who knew? It's been a very cool experience. And it's really cool hearing your take on all of it.
Yeah.
It's such an interesting and unique position that you have. I keep going back to that. So, you know, we're getting towards the end of this. Is there anything else that you want to say about your position, the animals here, the amazing PR team here that has been staring us down this entire time? I'm kidding. Today we're back with Sarah, and Sarah is wonderful. You can tell we're with Sarah because Becca steals microphones and interrupts my podcasts, and Sarah does her best to even keep her laugh off the podcast. She's laughing silently right now, y'all, and turning red. I'm calling her out. This might be the last interview I get to do here. But so go ahead and tell me anything else you want to about being here.
Well, I definitely have said that it is amazing. And it is so nice to be able to be part of a team in a place that is not teeny tiny, but we're not super large either. So we do get to know a lot of each other in different departments and in different areas. And I feel even within our own department, there's a lot of really just fun camaraderie that you don't necessarily see when there's 30 people that are all working in the same area. But that is one of my favorite things, is just to be able to have the small-ish group of keepers that we have that all work pretty well together. And they all have the same goal at the end of the day of making sure all of these animals are taken care of to the best of our abilities. And it really shows. Everybody has such an amazing passion for all of the animals that they work with and for the job that we do at the end of the day. It's a really amazing team to be a part of.
Cool. I love that. Any conservation organization you'd like to give a shout out to?
My favorite is, of course, Red Panda Network.
Red Panda Network.
I know that's probably a common one.
Yes. I volunteer for them too.
Yes, I
really love them. Yeah, they're amazing. Yeah.
Just all of the things that they are doing over there has been so amazing, and following them along on social media for all of the new things that they have coming up is amazing.
It is amazing. And you know, Kelly is going on their eco trip.
I'm so jealous.
I am so jealous. You know, I was talking about earlier on that I like building connections, right?
Yes.
I know three different keepers that are going on that trip, and I've been able to connect them all.
That's so
and
fun.
And I want to go, but you know.
Just hop along in someone's suitcase.
Yeah, right, yeah. I think it might be slightly over the 50-pound limit. I don't know. But okay, very cool. Love another shout out. I've actually thought of doing another episode with Red Panda Network, but I realize that I literally end up talking about them at least once a month on the podcast. I don't have anything to say that's new because people love it because they do great work.
They
it deserves
amazing,
to be loved.
Amazing, amazing work.
All right, and then it is time. It's time now, don't you know? We've come to the end of the show. But there's one tale left to go. You're gonna laugh and say, oh no. It's time for the Rastafari Poop Story.
I didn't come prepared with this one.
Why does everybody seem shocked when I remind
I know,
you before
I
the
know.
Interview? No, it's fine, just take a minute. Also, what the hell is up with all your goat stickers?
This is just my goat water bottle.
But I mean, it's so good, but like, they're so different. It's amazing.
Came from my cousin.
Nice. All right. Is your cousin a goat?
She might be. It's private information. It's classified. But I'm cleaning out the cassowary pool. It's very slick, very full of gunk and grossness, and just not paying enough attention. Just slid right on down. Luckily, it was just my shorts. Nothing more than that. But it was a traumatic experience that I will remember for the rest of my life, how I smelled in that moment sitting in piles of cassowary poop.
So what did you do to get home?
Well, it was the morning.
Okay.
So I luckily had a change of shorts.
Okay.
And
okay.
was cool, cool, able cool. to get it figured out very quickly. But there was the slight walk of shame as I was done going, locking up everything and going back up from the blockhouse all the way back up to our break room, hoping that nobody could see me or that nobody would look at me.
Or smell you.
Or smell me, knowing what I had all over me. And luckily, knock on wood, I do think that I was able to make a sneak out of there without anyone seeing. Not 100% sure. There may be someone that saw and is just way too nice to say anything to me, which is fair, and I very much appreciate them if that is the case. But luckily, it was able to be figured out very quickly.
Amazing. Awesome. Well, thank you for taking the time. This has been a blast.
Thank you so much.
So there you have it, folks. Another episode from our friends at the Greensboro Science Center, and I had an absolute blast with this one. Hope you all did as well. And for those of you in the States, I hope you have an amazing Thanksgiving. It is my favorite holiday. I just love it so much. There's no pressure and all the food. So yay that. One of the things that I am wildly thankful for is all of my patrons, especially my Red Panda level patrons, Dr. Laura Shank, Dr. Stephen Williamson, and Barbara Bennett. Thank you, all three of you, and also everyone who supports the pod, whether it's by being a different level patron or by sharing the posts that I put up or telling people about it or just sending me messages when you hear things you like. I appreciate all of you so very much. And there's so much more cool stuff coming down the pike that I just cannot wait to share with all of you. But for now, I will leave you with a very simple reminder, which is that the word credits backwards is Steiderk. The Rossifari Podcast is produced, hosted, and engineered by John Rossi. Editing and fact-checking by John and Dr. Zoe Rossi. Our theme song is Sevens by Nathan Burke, performed by Nathan and John. Interrupting John theme and additional voices by Taylor Isaac Gray. You can reach John directly on Instagram and Facebook at Rossifari or by email at rossifaripod@gmail.com. Rossifari is part of the Daydreamer Media Network. Now, stop listening to me and go visit a zoo.